Good morning, everyone. I want to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. The song we sing, I Am Resolved. I was just pondering that. Am I really resolved to follow Jesus this morning? Is my heart really resolved in that way? And do I hasten to Him in my times of need? Do I hasten to Jesus or do I look for an alternative answer? Let it be that we hasten to Jesus because He has the answers for us. This morning when I stand up here, I truly feel my knees that are weak. So if we could just maybe come to the Lord in prayer, that I could have courage to bring forth these few thoughts that I have here. Let us bow. Lord, as we gather here before You this morning, Lord, You see our hearts and You see our needs and You see our shortcomings, Father. But we truly, Lord, we want to bow here this morning as Your people, Lord. We want to come to You, Lord, with the desire in our heart, Lord, to draw close, to learn of You, Lord, that You'd be glorified, Lord, that You'd look at us, Lord, and be pleased, our lives would be pleasing and acceptable to You, Father. Lord, I just pray this morning that You would touch these few words that I have here and just put a blessing upon them, Lord, that they would make sense to the people, that it would come out, Lord, the way that You would have it come, Father. Lord, and I just pray for a clear mind to bring these thoughts together, Lord. I just pray this in Your precious holy name, Father. Amen. As I was pondering what I was going to share here, it kept coming to mind that I was going to share something on the light of Jesus. And I kept pondering, am I that light? Is the light in my life that Jesus, does He see the light that I'm supposed to portray? I just wanted to ask, I was asking myself those, and I started looking into it, and I came to Matthew 5, 14 and 15. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle or put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and to give us light to all those that are in the house." Is there times that I refrain from being that light when I know I should? And there's things that I could do that would maybe portray the light of Jesus in. And I don't maybe because of the fear of man or the fear of who's around. I want to make a covenant that I want to put myself on the altar for God this morning and at any time. So, and I found a story that went with this that I want to start with. It's a little story about in the early days of trains, they had flagmen sit at each corner of the, on the railroad tracks, the flagmen, they didn't have blinking lights. So they'd have a man sitting there. And one dark night, there was an accident at the railroad crossing, and there was a lawsuit that followed. And during the proceeding, the flagman was questioned to the prosecuting stand. And during the proceeding, the flagman was to take the witness stand. And the attorney asked him the usual questions. Then he followed with an important one. He asked on the night of the accident, When the car approached, did you wave the lantern? Yes, answered the flagman, I did wave the lantern. And the attorney for the prosecutor continued with questions. But before long, he came to the same one. He kept asking, did you wave the lantern? The case seemed to hinge on that bit of testimony. The prosecutor realized it, and once more he thundered, I ask you again, when you saw the car approaching the crossing, did you wave the lantern? Once again, the flagman answered, I did. Yes, I waved the lantern. And the railroad company, they won the case, and there was no damage allowed. Later, the defense attorney was talking to the flagman, and he asked the prosecuting attorney, he really had me worried when he kept asking you about if you waved the lantern. And he asked him, well, did you wave the lantern? He said, what worried me the most is that he might ask me if the lantern was lit. You know, we can speak much of Jesus And we can speak a lot of things. But as we walk this life, it's not going to mean much to anyone if we're not walking in the truth. If we're not walking, because I've seen it a lot. I've seen these things a lot. A lot of things being talked. And you know they're just talked. It's not really a real clear walk in the life. And I just, we see a lot of professing churches that way. I just ponder these things that it is not us, that we don't ever let that be us, that when we're speaking the things of Jesus, that is real in our life. And it's a challenge to me sometimes, because it's easy to quote Scripture, and it's easy just to share. But am I really walking close to Jesus? That's where we're going to need to be, because nothing else is going to work. It's not going to measure up. It's not going to measure up if we're separated from God in any area of our life. We know that the more that we drown ourselves with the pleasures of life and work and we just consume ourselves, we know it gets our minds full. And when we're full in all those areas, the less light that we shine. The purpose of lanterns and lights is to give us light and to shine. You know, walking in the light that God lays before us is a high calling. The Bible, it has important things to say about the light and about shining. In Psalms 119, verse 105, it speaks of God's own word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. As Jesus refers to himself as the light, and he says to his followers, we are to be the light of the world. And we are not to be as the flagman with the dead lantern, but rather we're to shine like a flame. Not as a flickering flame, but as a steady light. Sometimes people, they see a flickering flame and it's casting dawning shadows. And it's a challenge for me to be burning bright for God. How did it happen that we who were in darkness and unbelief and separated from God, that we now have light? And then 1 Peter 2:9 says, but we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, and a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who have called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Just say, if we're reading a book or we're reading something, and we can't see the pages well, you know, we need to get closer to the lantern, or we need to get closer to the light. It's the same way if we're walking through this life and we feel dull, or if we're struggling with sin in our life, we're struggling with shortcomings and falling short. There's an answer. God wants us to draw nigh to him. He wants us to draw to him with the faithful Bible readings and searching of the Scriptures. When God comes nigh, we can feel the light. We can feel the encouragement in our life. And we can also feel it when we're not where God wants us to be. We do not possess this light of ourselves. Rather, we reflect it. Even as the moon reflects the light of the sun, we are to reflect Jesus to the world around us. Jesus calls us the light of the world. In Matthew 5:16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. A couple weeks ago, Dan Neuschwander preached on a purpose-driven life. And if we look into that, the ultimate purpose of our lives is to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. We need to shed the gospel light in our lives so people that are following us don't fall, and they don't stumble because of us. In John 8:12-30, it speaks on the light of Jesus. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whence I go. You cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You may judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone. But I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am the one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me, he beareth witness of me. They said unto him, Where is the Father? Jesus answered, Ye know neither me nor the Father. If ye had known me, ye have known the Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, that no man laid hands on him, for his hour is not yet come. Then Jesus said unto them, I go my way, and ye seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he hath said, I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. When he said they unto who out are, Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world close those things which I heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And Jesus said unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he has sent me. He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Just a question, is there something in our lives that hinder the light? If it is, may God reveal it to us that we may walk close to him. And as I was pondering this, I didn't realize how much time I'd have, and so I put some more things together on what Jesus wants from us. If we possess this light, what Jesus would want in our lives. One thing he wants for us is to take some action in doing things in the service to him. In Luke 4:46, it says, And why call me Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them not, I was showing to him what it is like. He is like a man which built his house and diggeth deep and laid the foundations on the rock. And when the floods arose, the steam beat vehemently up on the house, and it could not shake it, for it was built on the foundation, founded on the rock. But he that heareth my words and doeth them not is like a man without a foundation. Jesus placed a lot of emphasis on doing by saying it was vain to call him Lord and not follow in his ways. Now following his ways is like building on a solid foundation. It will root us against the waves and winds of life. Jesus warned that recognizing him as Lord and even doing great things will not get us in to the kingdom of God, but is doing the will of his Father which is in heaven. He says, Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them that I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Jesus put a lot of importance on living the will of the Father in heaven. Yes, it's vital to see Jesus as Lord. It is the same important to live by his teachings, which came from God. In John 7:16, which it says, Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but is the one that sent me. And another one is, God wants us to worship him in spirit and truth. Worshiping in the Spirit and Truth. I thought about a few of the things that Alan preached last Sunday on worship in the Spirit. In John 4:23, but the hour has come, and when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in Spirit and Truth. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. Jesus was telling this to the Samaritan woman at the well. What about Joseph? He followed God in spite of prison. He worked for God. If he would have resisted God's Spirit and got bitter, look at the blessing Egypt would have missed. He would have missed the blessing, and things would have not gone the way God had planned because he resisted His will. In the Old Testament, Joshua said, "The children of Israel, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." We can see in both testaments, it's important to worship God in sincerity. Just any form of worship won't do. It must be sincere as well as biblically correct. And Jesus wants, if we possess that light, Jesus wants faithful Bible reading and prayer. He wants us to connect with Him in that way. It says, Jesus was a man of prayer. In the Gospels, you'll read numerous passages of Jesus going off by Himself to pray. And He expects us to do the same in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet. And when thou shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward us openly. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing, never to give up in Thessalonians 5:17. Paul also says of the men in the town of Berea, they were praised for digging into scriptures in Acts 17:11. Paul and Silas were sent to Berea, and it seemed that they were more zealous than those in Thessalonica. In that they received the word with all readiness in mind, and they searched the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. And they sought to learn more about the way of life Paul preached. Jesus wants us to be in contact with Him through prayer and the study of the written word of God. Jesus has a lot to say about money. I just came across a few things. Oh, these things reflect the light that Jesus has in our lives, the way we deal with these situations. And I'm talking about my own life. When I look at this, I'm thinking these things of me. I'm not looking at anyone else. Jesus has a lot to say with our money. Are we as concerned about our money as what He is? And what we do with our money. Is it our money or is it God's money? I know Mickey Brubaker preached on the money we have. He said it's all God's. He speaks about money on many occasions. John D. Martin speaks that, I heard him preach before, that Jesus spoke more on money than anything else in the scriptures that He spoke about. Jesus said, to lay up treasure in heaven, because you put your money where your heart really is. It says in Matthew 6:20-21, that it says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. In Luke 12:15, Jesus said unto them, take heed and be aware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Jesus warned us against covetousness, wanting something. Sometimes we want to hold on to money when there's needs, and we know there's needs around. Jesus warns us about that we are to give freely. Putting a wrong focus on our money, it will cost us eternity. It'll cost us the eternal life with God. Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if we gain the whole world and lose his own soul, and we lose our own souls? Paul also taught on the love of money. It is the root of all kinds of evil. It will spiritually drown us. It will spiritually drown a person if we chase money. I know these things. I know this because I did. I chased money plenty in my life. 1 Timothy 6 through 10. But they that be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many, many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some have covered after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I think we all know Satan loves for us to be so busy with all these things that they draw us away. He knows that it'll draw us away from God. What about Jesus at the service for others, helping others, something that's going to portray the light in our life, the way we spend our time in service to others. Jesus came to help all mankind. He came so they could have their sins forgiven through the sacrifices of His perfect life. Jesus made a point with the disciples. They began to discuss who was going to be in to have the highest position of honor in the kingdom. He told them if they wanted to be great, that they would have to serve others. It was a different kind of kingdom than what they were used to living in. Mark 10:42-45. But Jesus called them to Him and said unto them, you know that they were at your counter to rule over you, rule over the Gentiles, exercise the lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered, but to minister to, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Paul also told the church in Galatia that needed to show their love by serving others. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty, not only to use the liberty for the occasion of the flesh, but by love to serve one another. What does Jesus want from us? He wants us to use every opportunity to do good to others and to serve others. Jesus says, He tells us that to do good for the least of our fellow Christian brothers, we're doing it to Jesus. In Matthew 25:40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done unto the least of my brothers, ye have done it unto me. And I think that's all I have. I put this together, and I hope it wasn't too scattered, and I hope you got something out of it.